You're listening to the Are We Enlightened Yet podcast, where we demystify the spiritual and wellness worlds and take the pressure off being superhuman to give you full permission to just be a human. Thanks for being here. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, give us 5 stars and a written review, and share with your friends. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to this week's episode. No longer counting the numbers because I actually don't know anymore.
Yeah, I've lost count.
That's exciting because it means that we've done a few. Yeah. How are you? How was your week, Sid? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. My week was a week from hell. So where do I even begin? So I started this week on my period, and all my ladies out there know how fun of a time that is. And so on Monday, my body was giving me all the signs to rest and take it easy. I had a headache, I had cramps, my body was achy. And being me, the smart person that I am, I proceeded to do a 1 hour dumbbell full body workout. And then that's when everything went to shit after that. Like the next day, I got like slammed with a cold and all my sinuses were completely congested, and that's why my voice is sounding the way it is right now. And so then right when I was like starting to get on the mend, like midweek, I threw my back out. I didn't throw my back out, but like it felt like it, but I pinched my sciatic nerve is what we kind of figured out what happened.
Dr. Robin
helped me out, and I've been walking around like a hunched over decrepit old man for the rest of the week, and it's just, that's where I'm at right now. And I feel like I'm slowly on the mend, but oh my god, like I was on like the edge of burnout, right? And like, and then I took myself over the edge with that freaking workout, which god knows why I decided to go through with it. And then I've been bedridden the whole week and just mad at myself for ignoring my body and doing what I did. So
it's funny because last week you were talking about how like you're like, oh, I just like can't stop watching Netflix and all of that, and I was like, yeah, I think you're tired. You're like, no.
I'm like no Sid,
like I think you're tired, and that's why you're not, like, you literally can't even bring yourself to do anything you'd like to do because your body's trying to tell you that like I'm fatigued.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, not.
I'm fine.
I don't think that's it. Like,
I just have to be more creative and just like put my heart to it and do some things.
Yeah, like, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Wow.
No, I was tired. And my body was finally like, okay, if you're not going to listen to me, we're going to throw you into the deep end of this exhaustion.
You're
and
not
going to make
like,
you rest.
Honor your rest. We're going to force you to take it.
Yeah.
Which is what happens.
Yeah.
When you don't listen to the whispers.
Right? They become yells and screams.
They will scream. 100%.
So, yeah. Honestly, I'm not doing the best, but I'm doing good, all things considered.
Yeah, it's like when my January started. It was like, I wasn't doing well, but I was doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm trying to find the comedy in this, but it's really not that fucking funny.
Like, exactly.
Your back is feeling a little bit better, you said, right?
It is. I can finally walk. It's still hurting to, like, bend down and reach some stuff. Like, I feel like I can't even use my core to, like, move myself anywhere. But, yeah, I don't know. My bed has been my best friend this week, so.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
My bed is my best friend every day. We already know I love sleep. I was like gonna say that, and I was like, no, that's like, we went to the like Brett Kissel concert last night, which was amazing. It was so much fun. It was like, it was legit. It's been so long since I've been at a concert, and a country concert. Like, I love country music. I love country concerts.
That's your shit. Yeah.
Totally. It's funny because it, like, really makes me miss home. Like, it makes me miss all my farmer friends and, like, all the good times we used to have. But, like, by 9 o'clock, I don't even know if he'd been on stage yet. I couldn't stop yawning because I was like, excuse me, my body's like, it's past your bedtime. What are you doing? I was like, you're going to have to stay up a little later. Like, but I was having so much fun, but I literally couldn't stop yawning. I was just so tired. I was like, oh man, I've really gotten used to these like early bedtimes, but.
Grandma Robin had a night on the town.
Yeah, seriously. I was up till 11, but I think I got home at 11:30 and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to recover this weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, so, but that was a lot of fun. So, but I was just saying that like my voice is fatigued from screaming that much because it was a lot of fun, but yeah, it was a good way to end the week. My week wasn't anything, it's so funny. I don't know what's happening. I feel like I literally am having memory problems and I need to up my essential fatty acids because I'm like, I actually can't really remember my week. I went and had to drop more money at the fucking dentist. And like, this is just like a story that never ends. But it's getting so annoying because literally every single time I've gone, they don't know why I'm there. Like, really? I have to tell them why I'm there. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
So why were you there this time?
So we know my tooth broke back in January, so I had to get a pin put in. So then in March, he was like, okay, I want you to come back in 2 months so we can see if the pin, like, if it's going to work, because there's no point spending money on another crown if it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm thinking, I will not be spending money on a crown. You will be paying for this. But I didn't say that. And I was like, okay. So I actually called. They hadn't sent anything to insurance yet, like nothing. So I had called end of February to be like, hey, I have an appointment. I need to know what it's for though, because I'm supposed to have a crown done. You've sent nothing into insurance. I can't show up at the dentist's office because you guys have literally used all of my benefits already. And I don't even know what this appointment's for. And she's like, you don't have an appointment booked. I was like, yes, I do. I was like, I literally have the physical fucking card that says what time my appointment is for. And that is what it is for. And so she's like, oh, so what? No, you didn't. You came in January to get a cleaning done. I was like, no, I came in January and you put a post in my mouth. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, oh, well, we'll make sure that like this one is that like, I'm like, she's like, well, we have to take x-rays and all of that to send in for the crown. And I was like, well, you just took x-rays in January. She's like, well, they need to be within the month. And I was like, well, I can't afford to get x-rays done for the fourth time in 5 months because I literally got them done August, September. There was one other time, January, and now I'm gonna have to get them done again in March, and they cost a lot of money to get done.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we won't charge you, whatever. So then I go in, and finally in March, no one knows why I'm there. They're like, so you're just here for like a general checkup? I was like, no, you told me to come back because I have a post in my mouth and you need to check on it. Oh, you're not here for a cleaning? I was like, I'm gonna lose my mind. So then the doctor comes in. He's like, actually, he's like, he looked. He's like, yeah, your benefits renew end of November. He's like, so I think we should wait to do the crown to see how much is covered. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll wait because I know nothing's going to be covered because I don't have any benefits right now. And I'm like, you're going to, like, I shouldn't have to pay for the crown because, like, I called in December to be like, my crown is loose. And then they booked my appointment. And then the next day they canceled my appointment. Rebooked me for a completely different appointment. I had to call back, be like, why am I booked for this? Like, I need my crown looked at. And she's like, oh, like, it's just been a clusterfuck. So then, yeah, I'm there. I don't know. But, like, I grind and clench my teeth so bad that I'm actually pretty sure that's how I have broken both those teeth. The same tooth is because I just grind so bad. So I was asking him about a mouth guard. And I was like, okay, well, if I wait till November, should I get... Do you think I should get a night guard? Because I was like, I'm really scared that I'm going to, in that time, grind my teeth so bad that I'm going to snap the post.
Mm.
Right? And he's like, yeah, we should. Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. So then they do make me stay for a cleaning on that appointment, and I'm pissed. And I'm like, I don't need one. I just had one. Like, this is so fucking stupid. And then, so then they book all of my appointments. I have an appointment booked for November. And then I go back for this fucking mouth guard. Again, they don't know why I'm there.
Seriously.
And wow. I'm like, I'm here for this mouth. And then the doctor comes in and he goes, yeah, we need to book you in for your cleaning. And I'm like, no, you don't. I was like, I'm already I'm booked, like, I need to come back to get my crown done when my benefits renew. Oh, well, we need to book that and the cleaning appointment. I'm like, those appointments are literally already booked. They're booked. Like, I'm trying
sounds
to take...
Sounds like you need to change dentists.
The problem, no, I do, but the problem is I need them to at least comp some of this crown because it's not my fault it broke.
Yeah.
And if I go to a different dentist, I have to repay for everything. Right?
So it's as soon as the crown's done, you're out
of
there.
Oh, completely different dentist. Yeah. Like I keep texting my one friend who is a dental hygienist, I think. And she's just like, what? She's like, I know why you're at the dentist. How do these people not know? And so, yeah, it's been really frustrating. So I've been keeping record of everything so that, like, come November, I can be like, you can at least pay for 50% of this or something. Like, you can help me. Because, like, well, I understand that you're trying to be kind. Not one person has known why I had an appointment. My tooth broke because you canceled my appointment. Like,
you've been really dropping the ball.
100%. And it's been a nightmare. And, like, when I've had terrible dental experiences, so then to, like, have to, like, keep going into a dentist that doesn't even know why you're there, you're just like, I am terrified that you're going to do something that is going to be, so, like, so painful. And, like, so it's been a bit of a shit show. I'm really over it. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's annoying to go in and then be like, I don't, why are you here? And then you're like, I have to explain everything again?
Yeah.
For the fourth time in 2 months why I'm here. So, and then they're just like, oh yeah, sorry, someone must have forgot to book you. I hope she doesn't work here anymore, because that's literally her job. Like, and don't get me wrong, I understand mistakes happen. It is not that. It's that I've had
you're consistently six having appointments. To deal with this shit. Yeah,
I've had 6 appointments. They've fucked up every single appointment. Everyone. So it's not just like, it's not. And literally every time I go in, they have new receptionists. So I'm just like, this is a nightmare. So anyways, that was my dental experience of the week.
Wow.
Other than that, it was a pretty low-key week. And the dentist wasn't bad. I'm just annoyed. Like, I'm just getting frustrated.
Yeah.
So if you have any advice, anyone, on how I'm going to get them to cover my crown in November for a crown that they put in October that broke 3 months later. Please let me know. I'm not very good at that type of stuff. Because I've been in customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like to be that person that's, like, demanding. But at the same time, like, crowns are, like, $1,400.
I think the situation warrants a little demanding.
I know. But then you're scared because you're, like, they're doing stuff in your mouth. Like, they have the potential to, like, royally fuck it up on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, that's where that, like, fear comes from.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I hope that you figure this shit out. So you never have to deal with them again.
Yeah. It sucks because they, like, they've been nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know when you're just like, but that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, they've been quite kind while I'm in there, but, like,
they sound fucking incompetent.
Yes. And I'm like,
nice, but incompetent.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, I feel like you're trying to be nice to make up for the fact that you're incompetent.
Yeah.
Right? Because then it's like, you feel guilty. You're like, well, they're nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they're also robbing you blind of money.
Yeah.
Like, this girl, I got this mouth guard and I, like, made a joke when I was paying for it. I was like, phew, that is expensive. And she's like, oh, well, we're giving you a deal. I was like, I'm paying it. Like, you're not giving me a deal. Do you know how much money I've spent here in the last 4 months?
You guys are ripping me off.
Like, trust me, you've taken more of my money than anybody else has. This isn't a fucking deal, man. It's still very expensive for a piece of plastic.
Yeah, no kidding.
But anyways, I digress.
Damn.
Fuck dentists. but shall we get into the episode?
Yeah.
We're talking shadow work.
Yuck.
And I'm gonna let you take this first because I think we're gonna have actually very differing opinions on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna let you go first. What is shadow work to you?
Okay, so I'll talk about the shadow itself first before diving into what shadow work is. So to me, the shadow is like the disowned parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so this all kind of, like, came about with, like, Carl Jung and, like, archetypal psychology when he kind of presented the shadow, and he believed that the shadow was, like, he has this quote, and it's, like, when you shine light on something, there's always a shadow, or, I'm botching it, but anyways.
Something like that.
So it's, like, the parts of you that are, like, hidden in the shadows, the parts of you that, like, you repress because somewhere in your life you've labeled them as, like, bad. And so it's like they're the aspects of us that we deem as like unworthy of being seen, and so we repress them, and then they live in like the unconscious realms, and then that's kind of like where they, I want to say fester, but that's kind of like where they reside, and it's like they're just unconscious aspects of ourselves that we just have repressed and labeled as bad, ugly, evil, all these bad things.
Unworthy, unlovable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I do agree on that. Okay. Like, I agree that, like, shadow is these, like, parts of us that really we've deemed that make us unworthy of being loved. I think my issue with shadow is it's become such a spiritual fucking wording. Mm. And I've realized I'm just so done with the labels of the spiritual world. We fucking label everything. And then it becomes this, like, obsession, and we have to make meaning to everything, and we have to control everything. And I've just realized I'm really done with it. So, like, yes, I know what shadow is and the psychology and all of that. Like, it is those, like, parts of you that you deem unlovable. But then there's, like, this, like, it's like we get obsessed with doing the shadow work. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just something in the labeling of it that I just have so much resistance to these days, where I'm like, ugh, get that away from me. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah, you don't have to label it shadow. You don't have to label it whatever.
Because then I think the problem is when we label it, you think it's going to go away. If I just, like, work on it and never stop working on it, eventually I'll just be done with it. It becomes another task. And it's not that. Some of those parts are never actually going to be fully healed. You're always going to be sensitive to them, right? They're, like, deep-rooted beliefs. And, like, so I think it's just then that it just perpetuates this, like, broken part of you that constantly needs work. And I think that's where, like, the spiritual world has, like, hijacked what the shadow is. Do you know what I mean? Like, then it's, like, every book's about it again. It's, like, but it's just the resistance I have to now labeling everything. I just feel like the spiritual world hijacks everything and makes it a project.
And do you feel like because of that we get caught in this, like, shadow work and we almost, like, lose ourselves in it and forget about, like, the other parts of spirituality rather than just, like...
Yeah, I think it, like, again, it becomes a project. Like, oh, I'm doing my shadow work. I'm working on my shadow. I'm working on the parts of me I hate. Like, it's like, what if you just, like, stopped? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can do it, like, I don't know. Yeah, there's just something about it where it just becomes this, like, now it's trendy again. Like, let's do a workshop on it. Let's do a masterclass. Let's do all of this. Like, people are just trying to make money off, like, it's just become such a big thing these days. And I think a lot of people who are in the work are very obsessed with doing the work because it's a way to control things still. And then we get obsessed with digging our shadow constantly, and we forget to see, like, the good parts of us, or that, like, maybe that's just a reaction and it's not a shadow, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, we just, like, we make, like, meaning of everything, and we label everything bad as shadow, when sometimes it's, like, actually, like, that just is what it is. Do you know what
Like, rather than, like, using that insight to, like, supplement their growth journey, they're hyper-focusing on the insight from the shadow, and they're, like, almost treating that as, like, a full-time job.
Yeah.
It's, like, diving into the shadow.
Or they're trying to completely pretend that they don't have parts. They've worked on all of the shower, so there's not parts of them that are just, like, very human and, like, don't live up to this, like, love and light expectation. Right? Like, the shadow has become such a bad thing when also it's just also a kind of a human
experience.
Right? Or, like, if you do something that, like, somebody deems as, like, not okay, suddenly, like, that's your shadow, when really you're like, I don't really care that you don't like it. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it becomes a thing where people are like, oh, they need to do this. And you're like, sometimes it just feels nice to be a shitty person. Like, I know that sounds terrible, but, like, as somebody who, like, feels a lot of shame, like, true triggering shame around being a bad person, it's taken a lot of work for me to be like, sometimes I just want to be a shitty person. Sometimes I don't want to have to take the moral high ground every fucking time. And I think that's where that, like, that shadow work in the spiritual world frustrates me. But the funny thing is I know it's important. I don't like the label of it. Is more it.
Do you have, like, a different label for it
then? No, I think it's just, like, working on yourself.
Okay.
I think it's just growth. Like, it's just, like, learning how to love parts of you that, like, you deem unworthy.
Like, learning how to be whole.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's a piece of it with shadow where, like, oh, like I said, like I have a lot of shame around being a bad person, or I think everyone's real issue is that we're all afraid that we're not worthy of love, that like we then label, when it becomes shadow, we can tend to label that as a bad thing, when really it's still a
part of you.
It's just a part of you, and it's a part of you that has protected you as a kid, right? Like those parts were developed because somewhere along the lines something stung. Maybe it was like on the playground or something happened, and then we're just labeling them as bad parts that need to be fixed, when like you said, they're just a part of you, and there's so much you can do to help heal them. But it's not like this like dark part of you.
Yeah.
Which I think is which is funny, because like I love the dark feminine energy. I love dark like shadow and the nitty gritty of things, but I think the spiritual world has just kind of hijacked what spiritual work, or I'm sorry, shadow work actually is.
Yeah. I think there's like a misconception that shadow work is like getting rid of the shadow rather than like integrating it and learning to live with the shadow.
And that it's bad.
Yeah.
Like your shadow is bad.
Yeah.
It's like the bad parts of you.
Yeah. They're repressed parts, but they're not bad. We label them as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
why we repress them.
Totally. And like, so when you're doing shadow work, it's like, oh, I'm working on the bad parts of me. Like, no, you're working on the parts of you that are very sensitive, that like are very protective of the really scared part of you, right? Like
the parts of you that were that you were conditioned to reject, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, again, the spiritual world does a garbage job. They like to make money and keep people in a state of perpetually needing to fix themselves. Yeah. And I'm guilty. Like, I am that person. I've had to actively stop working on myself.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of my feelings around what it is these days. I've never called it shadow, ever. It's just become I feel like it's become I feel like we should have called our podcast Instagram Sucks, because like I feel like it's become a trendy thing on Instagram for every spiritual and light leader or whatever they want to call themselves to talk about shadow work and then absolute butcher what it is. I've seen very few people where I agree with it, because like you made a really good point, like it comes from a psychology background. It's not a spiritual background. The spiritual world has actually just hijacked the work.
Yeah.
And like that's where I think the disconnect is. Is that like it is the work of finding the parts of you that you keep hidden.
Yeah.
It's not that, sorry, a truck just drove down my pathway and that really threw me off, like a full-on truck.
You don't see that every day. But yeah, no, because I learned in just this course I'm in, and we were talking about Carl Jung and like his work with like archetypes and shadow work and all of that stuff. And a lot of the stuff that he kind of dove into with his work with his clients was like using these archetypal figures and like representations of, you know, like common representations of like, you know, like the mother archetype, the shadow, the like the hero archetype, all these things. And his goal with his clients was this process of like individuation, to become distinct from the collective and to identify like the collective shadow within and then the personal shadow, and learning how to like differentiate oneself from them and to integrate them and like basically become whole and reach that like sense of like peace. Psychological like integration and wholeness. Right? And so it's like we lost the roots of shadow work by focusing just on the shadow is bad. In order to be a healed, whole person, we need to get rid of the shadow. We can only focus on the light. And that's where we lost it.
Totally.
Right?
Or it's like, again, like, it's like that feeling of like, oh, you did something that wasn't like high vibe, or like lived up to somebody else's version of like high vibe. And suddenly that's like, that's your shadow. It's like, no. That was just like me being a person. Do you know what I mean? Like not everything that isn't high vibe and love and light becomes shadow,
right?
Like that's the thing, is like you're here to have a very human experience, which means you're gonna have very human reactions to things, and you're gonna have very human moments, and like that's actually what keeps life interesting. And like I think intention is everything, and like the universe knows who you are at your like core. So like your moment of just being a human doesn't suddenly mean you have shadow work to unpack. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, oh, wow, I better work on that. Like, oh, no, maybe, mm-hmm. but also maybe not.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this, like, I think the, like, people who are, like, always trying to live in the light, for me, it's not real. Like, there is light and dark in all humans, and you have to learn, like you said, to, like, integrate that to be a whole person. There's nothing to run from on the dark parts of you.
Yeah.
That being said, I've also worked on that regularly in therapy to, like, actually mean what I say.
Mm.
Practice what I preach.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing to say, and it's another thing to believe that those parts are, like, still lovable.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So, what then, since we'll call it shadow work, even though I'll be, like, hate it the whole time, we'll
call it the work.
How do you personally approach it then? Like, how do you work on and integrate that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So, a lot of it is, like, through my relationships with other people. Like, if I'm, like, triggered by something that someone does, or if I'm like, if I see like a trait in someone that's like actively like making me really mad or angry, or it's like if it keeps showing up, like if someone just keeps on being like really, I'm just gonna use a basic one, like rude to me,
yeah,
I'm like, oh my god, like why is this person keep being rude, why is this person being rude, like, you know, like it's constantly showing up in my realm somewhere, and that's like usually my cue to be like, okay, I'm noticing this consistently, there's a pattern here that is calling for my like acknowledgement, and that's usually my cue to be like, okay, there's something inside of me that I'm failing to recognize within my own self, because it's showing up so consistently. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, where in myself have I disowned rudeness, or where am I not completely owning this trait or aspect that I'm noticing a lot? And so a lot of the time, yeah, I'll use my relationships and see what triggers me, and then I'll use that and like turn the mirror back towards me, and a lot of it is just like acknowledging that, okay, that's within me too. Like most of the work for me is like reminding myself that all of these things that I see in other people that are ultimately being projected from me are inside me too. And a lot of these aspects, most of them just want that acknowledgement. They just want to be seen,
mm-hmm.
and heard and like understood that they're inside of me too. They're not just in the external. And so it's just like this introspective process of recognizing those ugly parts and being like, okay, it's in me too, it's within my own psyche, and that's fine. And it's learning to like accept them, and like a lot of it entails like journaling and going into the DIs of like the expanded podcast work, and like seeing myself embody those traits that like trigger me so much, and like learning to like love that part of me too, and just, yeah, ultimately just finding that sense of acceptance around them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's so interesting, because I feel like I'm the exact opposite, actually, is that, like, my experience because of PTSD has actually been learning how to flip the mirror away from myself and realize that, like, it's actually not all me.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It's, like, I don't have to take responsibility for everybody. I'm not calling it in. I'm not responsible for somebody upset. I'm not, like, is actually having to take the mirror away from myself and realize that, like, there are humans participating in this, and I'm not, and I say this, it's hard because, like, there's people listening that don't really know me. Like, I'm an incredibly self-aware person, and I'm incredibly critical on myself, and, like, it's taken me years and years and years to stop being responsible for everybody else's actions. And I think that's why I'm always like, well, some people are just assholes, right? And because I'm not like, okay, well, how did I do this? How is this my fault? Like, I've had to really stop looking at it that way, because I just, like, it wasn't serving me anymore. It never served me, right? It just kept hurting me, and it kept wounding me even further. So for me, it's actually flipping the mirror to be like, actually, sometimes, like I've said, keep saying, sometimes people fucking suck. And sometimes, it doesn't matter if I know why somebody's taking the actions. It's shitty that they did it. Or it's okay if I'm a bad person. Like, I'm not in my core a bad person. So, like, it's having to, like, be okay and learning to accept the, like, the very, very human parts of me and not need to pick them apart and fix them. Mm. Not need to, like, take a magnifying glass to a human moment and be like, why did I do that? What's coming up for me? Like, no, it's just having to, like, allow myself to be human and be shitty sometimes. Like, one of the, I was actually just texting a friend about it this week. I was like, it's funny because I know she doesn't even remember it, but I remember exactly where she was when she texted it to me. And she was just like, you know, you don't have to be a good person all the time. She's like, sometimes it's okay to be a bad person. And I was like, pardon? What? What? And like, that's taken me years to integrate. And like, when I say bad person, I don't mean like a bad person. Mm-hmm. I just mean like a human person. Mm-hmm. So like, my shadow work has actually just been letting me be human and not holding me to a standard that nobody else holds me to. Also a standard that I don't hold anyone else to. Mm-hmm. Right. But like, it's that like consideration piece, like inconsiderate people or people who project really, really piss me off. But like, I've had to learn to not be like, okay, what about that is my thing? Mm-hmm. And where it's like, well, if they can, if that person can do it, then means that part of me is in me. When I'm like, no, that part is literally not in me. And that's why I don't understand how they can do it. Mm. Right? Like, that's why it hurts so bad, because I could, like, I literally couldn't fathom doing it. But then I would try and take ownership of it and be like, no, like, that must be. And it's like, it's actually not. It's like, for me, it's like, that's why it hurts so bad, is because like, but that's a hypervigilance piece of like being so aware of everyone else and their needs and all of that to like keep everything, like keep me safe. So yeah, so like, yeah, like it's a weird dynamic, but I've learned that like for me, yeah, it's really actually taking less responsibility, which has taken years for me to do. It's actually probably been only been within like the last 6 months that I stopped taking responsibility for everyone's reactions and responses, and had to realize that like, yeah, actually, like, you know, when the people say like, oh, sometimes like you're responsible for your response to things, yes, 100%, but there's also two people in every situation, right? You are also responsible for how you treat people, and if they have a reaction, you don't get to not own it. Right? You don't need to be like, actually, you're responsible for your reactions. Yes, of course. Yes, 100%.
Yep.
But you can also still need to take responsibility that you hurt somebody. So, I don't know if that was a little rambly, but it's a weird thing for me. Like, but it's definitely
interesting. Yeah, I think that's why I always need to pay attention if it's like a pattern or just like a one-off occasion. Yeah. Because if someone was just being shitty and it was just like, yeah, it triggered me. But if it was just like this experience that didn't happen like consistently, then I wouldn't dive into it. But it's like the process of, okay, there's something happening consistently here and it's calling for my attention. That's when I take like those instances from the external and bring them internal and like use them as like reflection pieces. And then that kind of allows me to take accountability, so the next time that happens, it triggers me less. And it's almost like I can own that part of me, and then I have like more compassion for those people who are in those like having that like human moment, because I realize like it is ultimately just humans being humans.
So what parts of you though then would you be like, oh, that's this part, like, oh, when like this continues to happen, it's actually this part of me that can do that, like what parts are it?
So a lot of it has been like lately, like the aspect of like selfishness. And so whenever like I perceive someone to be being really, really selfish and just inconsiderate and like not taking my feelings into account, I would get really triggered, and like that was happening so often, and I was like, okay, let's take this back towards me. Let's like, am I selfish, and what is my relationship to that aspect of selfishness? And so, and then I realized like how often I would be like not taking their feelings into consideration, and like how I was being so selfish but so unaware of it. And then I kind of unpacked that selfishness piece by like understanding that, oh, I had a wounded inner child that didn't feel like her needs were met in some area, you know? And so it's like, and so I would always be trying to like have those needs met by other people in a selfish way. And so by having the understanding, I had so much like compassion for my selfish self, because I know it just stemmed from like a child who just wanted something or needed acknowledgement. And so once I had that understanding, whenever someone else was like, whenever I had that moment of perceiving someone as selfish, I was less inclined to be like, oh, they're just being selfish. I had that because I was able to be like, turn it around and be like, okay, I know this stems from something within me. I know now that is stemming from something within them. Now I don't need to be like so resentful towards them for being selfish anymore. I have that understanding and like that compassionate place now of understanding. So it's like, that's kind of where the healing work comes for me, is like using the external to heal the internal. So now I don't have to project shit onto the external and be so mad that they're being selfish now. There's just understanding.
Right. How do you though be able to tell for yourself then that like where yourself actually self-abandoning and you're actually just letting them be selfish, right? Like where you're just like, you're actually not showing up in this relationship in the like, or you're behaving in a way that's actually just is shitty. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Where, how do you differentiate that then? Because, like, I know in the past I've been, like, I've done that where I'm, like, oh, no, it's because of X, Y, and Z, and I understand, and I da, 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 da. But then it just turned out that I was just letting everyone, I was just a fucking doormat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so where, when, like, how do you find that line? Like, I'm curious, because I'm, like, how do you find that line?
No, that's when, like, boundaries come into play. Right. It's, like, you can have the understanding, but then also have, like, this sense of, like, okay, understand that you're hurt and you're acting from a hurt place, whether you're having this dialogue internally or with them, but be like, but this is not okay. Like, I will not accept that. I know that, like, hurt people hurt people, but I'm not going to accept
that. But where is your line is more what I mean. Like, where do you know it's like, okay, I actually need to, do you know what I mean? Like, where's your line of knowing that, like, okay, actually, this behavior is no longer, like, I can no longer look at this as, where am I showing up this way? Do you know what I mean? Am I not, like, because I think there's a line where it's, like, you can be reflective, like, where you said, like, you go in, you dissect, you look, and you see that.
Yeah.
But then, like, where is the line when you're, like, actually, that boundary needs to be set?
Like, when I don't identify with...
No, say you did. Like, say you're, like, it's, like, you were saying, like, my selfishness, you saw it was like your inner child, all of that kind of stuff. But say then like it keeps happening, where do you know actually I do need to set a boundary, or I do need to say something, or even if it's an energetic boundary, where do I need to know that actually it's not no longer the parts of me, it actually is just behavior?
I think that might like come in tandem with the work of self-reflection and like setting that like energetic boundary in the like the first place, being like, okay, I understand now that there's, like, selfish people out there, and there's people who act from the place of selfishness that I don't, like, let's say, like, I'm not, like, calling in selfish people.
Right, right.
I think it's, like, once you're doing that process of self-reflection and, like, kind of learning to accept that selfishness within you, it's, like, setting that energetic boundary of being, like, okay, I have this understanding now. Now I don't need to, like, make excuses for other people anymore in their behavior, because I'm doing the work. I'm an adult here. We should all be taking accountability for our own shit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, yeah, I think it kind of, that line is drawn in tandem with that process. And then if it keeps happening, well then, I think it's understanding like that we're all human and you don't need to take on their shit. You don't need to dissect everything. And that's kind of when you need to just draw the line with yourself. When are you going to stop doing the work? Because and not every selfish person that comes into your life is going to be a prompt for you to dive inward.
Yeah. And I think that's where the shadow work gets very messy for people, where they don't understand that like there are absolutely parts of you, but there does come a line where you have to stop self-abandoning it and making it your problem.
You have to learn to walk away from
Right? Like, and I think like that's where, again, like that issue for me comes in, where it's like shadow work, it's always you, there's always a shadow, and it's like, yeah, there is parts of you that need to be looked at, but do you know the line where it's now no longer shadow work and it's just self-abandonment because you're scared to rock the boat of saying to somebody or like noticing a behavior consistently, right? Like, and that's just been a learning process for me in the shadow work, is like finally stop taking responsibility for other people and being like, oh, well, XYZ, da da da.
Like justifying their behavior.
Yeah, right. And then I think that is like one of the incredible challenges that like a lot of the kind of coaching world and all of that kind of stuff can really fail people right now is that they don't, like you said, like it comes in tandem for you, but for so many, because you understand like what self-abandonment is and like where you need to choose you and what happens when that happens and how that feels like. But when you're like, you're really just, because you're able to, we've talked about it, you get into the beliefs, right? Like you go below it all to like really dig in. But so much of that isn't really what happens. I feel like when people talk about shadow work, they don't really fully integrate it. And then I think that like, yeah, that piece where it's like, okay, it's actually not shadow anymore. I guess self-abandonment would be shadow. But like, yeah, where are you now abandoning yourself in order and making it about you when really it's actually maybe that you're just letting people treat you shitty or project what their idea is when you're just like, actually, that just like what upsets you, I just genuinely don't really care about, right? Like it doesn't bother me. But then you make it bother you because you're like, oh, well, that's there. Do you like it can get so messy that I think like the shadow work that really needs to be worked on first is like, figure out who the fuck you are. Like, find out what actually matters to you, because like if you're around a lot of people doing the shadow work, you're going to take on a lot of shit that's not yours too, right? Yeah. Like, you have to know what's important to you. You have to know your core values or your, like, authentic code or whatever, like, who you are to dive into it so that you're not derailed by other people's shadow work. Because I think it can be quite, that self-abandonment piece in shadow can be really hard.
It can be easy to take on, like, all of these aspects and work to integrate all these things that don't even need to be integrated and aren't even you.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, like for me, that's where, and I think that's why I find the term so frustrating, right? Because people just like, and I say this as a lesson from that I've had to learn, is people like overdo it, right? Like it can be such overkill and it can make your life a lot more challenging. And I say that after 2 years of therapy of like having to like undo all the responsibility I've taken for like everybody's actions in my life.
Yeah.
Right. Like I've had to realize that like, actually I didn't do anything wrong. And that was really shitty. There wasn't a part of me. It's not a wounded part of me. It's actually just like, I mean, I understand that there's a wounded part of me that like calls those, not necessarily calls those, are drawn. You're drawn to what you know, right? Like if you come from a chaotic background,
feels safe to you.
Yes, it feels safe. I understand that aspect, but like, it's not that I wasn't like, I called in a narcissist because I'm narcissistic. I called in a narcissist and I don't even use I welcomed a narcissist happily into my life because I was used to chaos and that's where my body felt safe, right? There was no, as much as I tried to find shadow around that, there isn't shadow around that. What is shadow around that is having to calm my nervous system down and work on different parts, right? And I think that's where shadow work can get messy, where people are like, well, I need to look at why I attracted narcissists. It's like, well, it's probably not the narcissism. It's actually just it's the wounding. You have to look at your inner child, the unlovability, the need to fix, the need to people please, the need to do all of those things, right? Like sometimes the mirror isn't direct. And again, I think that tends to miss the mark when it's in books and all of that kind of stuff, that like it's, mirrors aren't necessarily literal reflections.
It's a little more subtle and energetic.
Yes.
Than what we
like,
think.
The wounding that's coming up, the hurt that's coming up is likely not a direct, sometimes it can be. Like you said, like the selfishness thing would have been a direct reflection, right? But it's not always that. And if you think it is a direct reflection constantly, you're just going to think you're the worst person in the world.
Yeah. It's never so cut and dry.
No.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it is. Yeah. Like sometimes you're like, actually, that's really pissing me off because of this. But sometimes it's like, oh, actually that like, there's this little girl in me that like, when that happened, I feel really unlovable, but it could be something super unrelated to that. You know, I think, yeah, I think shadow work that way is why it can be so challenging. It's because you have to be willing to dig.
Yeah.
And then also,
and it's never like fun, like facing those like unlovable parts of you, because it's like you've spent your whole life trying to hide them.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman, you've spent your whole life trying to be a good girl.
Yeah.
And be this, like, good.
You want to be pleasant.
Quiet. Yeah. Like, you don't want to rock the boat. So I think, yeah, shadow works. Have you noticed any, like, so what have you noticed then the most out of doing shadow work for yourself?
I think a lot of it has helped me just become a little bit more authentic and, like, understanding and compassionate again. Like, it's, like, knowing those parts of me exist within and knowing that there's nothing wrong with them and, like, having that, like, trust in myself to kind of show up in whatever capacity in any moment and know that, like, there's love there on some level. Like, there's, like, I can be all that I am and not feel so fearful of, like, judgment from other people. Mm-hmm. Because once you accept these parts of yourself, you rely less on, like, the validation from other people. And so it's, like, without that constant, like, hunger for, like, seeking, like, security from your outer environment, you show up in a way that's, like, more authentic and real and whole. And there's, like, so much power in that because you're not wasting all of your energy worrying about how you're being perceived by other people, how good you are in the eyes of others. Like, you know that, like, you accept yourself, there's a wholeness there, and that you can show up all that you are, and there's just so much power in showing up authentically and, like, all that you are.
How do you actively show those parts love? Because, like you said, like, for those that don't know, like, if you listen to the Expanded podcast, there's a Pathway membership, there's DIs, like, mm-hmm. they're, like, these, like, hypnosis. They're very good. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10 recommend. Mm-hmm. So, like, once you've, like, done the work, you've, like, connected the pieces and all of that, mm-hmm. What practices, if you have any, where you're, like, you're able to actually show yourself love and love those parts of you? Because it's very easy to be, like, yeah, you just love yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you heal it. Yeah. But, like, how do you show, what does that look like for you?
So, like, in the moment, like, a good in-the-moment practice for me is, honestly, like, if something shows up inside of me, I'm like, oh, like, if, let's say, so a common, like, shadow for me or, like, an unlovable part of me is, like, the idea of being fat. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I'm having, like, a bad body image day or if I'm feeling, like, if I have a moment of, like, judging myself in the mirror or, like, something in the moment, like, I'll hold my stomach and just, like, say, like, I see you and I love you. And, like, that's me, like, holding on to that aspect physically and just saying, like, I see you and, like, and just acknowledging it and being, like, I love you and just sending that, like, energetic love to it is so powerful for me because it's, like, I hold myself, like, usually, like, skin-to-skin contact really is, like, nurturing and soothing for me, and it's just taking that moment of, like, just giving it the attention that it's, like, wanting, and that's what helps me, like, in the moment. But, like, at other times, like, how I kind of show those parts love is, like, through, like, the hypnosis work through Lacey, and it's, like, I love her shadow integration DI, because you go in and you meet with, like, the shadow aspect, and you, like, basically, in, like, visualize it as, like, a person, and then it's having, like, a dialogue with it, and, like, learning, like, what it wants, what it needs, and, like, just acknowledging those needs and then eventually merging that with myself and then seeing me in that space growing up, moving through childhood, through adulthood with that integrated piece and feeling loved and whole and secure from that space. And that's more of like a challenging process. Like that's really deep and really hard to come out of sometimes because like you wake up like and it's like you come out of it and it can be really triggering and like just visualizing yourself as that aspect that you've repressed for so long. Mm-hmm. Like it's really hard, but I've had really powerful moments coming out of those and like mm-hmm. crying sometimes and being like, oh my God, like it just wanted like a hug, you know, like the parts of you, like what it needed. So that's kind of like the more deep divey work that I do to show those parts love.
Yeah. I think like, that, yeah, like, for me, actually, I think, like, mirror work is really important, like, if you really struggle with, like you said, like, you talk to your, like, you hold yourself, like, so if you really struggle with parts of you, like, you need, it, because it sounds stupid, you need to go look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and just stare at yourself and like start talking to yourself if you want. But I think that can actually be really powerful because you actually start looking at yourself as a human being instead of a punching bag for your psyche. And then I know for me, like, I literally talk to myself all the time. Like, I have learned to tell myself that, like, I'm so proud of myself. I gave myself high fives before Mel Robbins wrote a fucking book about it. I, like, talk to myself, like, the amount of times in a day where I'm like, I understand why you're feeling this way. Like, you're allowed to feel these emotions. It's okay that you're upset. For me, I have friends that, like, will be like, it's totally okay to vent to me. Like, just, like, and will help me, like, process my feelings and remind me that, like, I'm not a bad person, like, all of those types of things. So, like, for me, it's a lot more day-to-day. But that being said, like, I'm in very intensive therapy to, like, work on the, and I jokingly have said it in many podcasts, my whole life is a shadow. Like, generally, there's not, like, a shadow part of me. Like, I am the shadow in my brain. Like, I think, and so much of it has actually just been learning to accept me as a human being. Like, not just like certain aspects of me, like I'll get to those certain aspects and I do work on those certain aspects, but a lot of the work has actually just been liking myself as like, and being like, oh, you're allowed to exist on earth. Like, that's okay. Yeah. Right? So it's like been lots of tools like that way. But I would say, like, if you're not sure how to integrate it, like, start talking to yourself as if you were, like, it's like reparenting, like, as if you were talking to the little you. Find a picture, like, of your, like, your favorite picture of you as a little child and keep it somewhere and talk to that, talk to it every day. Like, it sounds so dumb, but there's something really that helps you process when you're verbally processing things, right? Because you do hear it back. So, like, I think those, like, little day-to-day things are really important into integrating those parts of you that you've repressed for so long. And I think the most important thing you do before, for, at least for my, in my opinion, before you're in a space to maybe start looking at mirrors, is, like, look at the parts of you you hate and learn to love them. Because, or you don't even have to learn to love them. Just learn to neutrally accept them. Allow them to exist. Because until you can allow those spots to exist, you're not going to be able to look at the specific parts of you you don't like with love. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a place where you're like, I can look at this and I have the tools to be compassionate to myself. Or you're finding them and you're willing to talk to yourself or do those things. If you're not in a space where you're even telling yourself good job or can say I love you, that needs to be your first step to shadow work. Because you can't dig up the parts of you you don't like until there's some type of self-acceptance that, like, you're human, you're a human being. I think it'll be too upsetting to you.
You almost need to approach it from, like, not a meditative state, but, like, a calm, neutral space where like, because it is very activating when you're doing this type of work. And so it's, like, if you're already entering into it with judgment or expectations or like that emotional charge, like, it will be that much more hard.
So, like, if you don't have, like you said, like, coming out of that DI can be really upsetting, but you've been doing the work and it's still upsetting, right? So it's like, if you're not even in a place where you can hold some kind of space for yourself, and maybe that is in therapy or if it's with a friend or something like that, to me, that's your first step to potentially working with shadow, is, like, you have to have some type of ability to hold compassion for yourself so that you can look at those parts, because, like, they're very hidden for a reason, right? Whether it's society, big T, little T trauma, just, like, moments on the playground, like, just, like, constant social media imaging, like, whatever. It's so ingrained in us. So I think, like,
We have to remember, like, these aspects are fully in the unconscious. You cannot lure something out of the unconscious with, like, hate and judgment, because that will make them want to hide that much more.
It won't even happen. Right? Like, the funny thing is, like, you can want it so bad, but if you are not ready, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, and I have learned this the hard way. It's like something my therapist and I have been working on for a long time, because I'm like, let's just jump off the cliff. Like, let's just go. And she's like, you do not have a window of tolerance to do it that way. Like, your body will like I disassociate a lot. And she's like, you, and it's, and I know that, but I'm like, but if I jump this 50 feet, then everything will be better. And she's like, no, everything will be fucking worse. Because like, you weren't able to hold it, right? And I think that's what you have to remember, is like, you have to realize your capacity to hold it. And don't look at the parts of you that are gonna like really upset you. Like, look at the easy parts. Like, maybe you want to fix your road rage in traffic. Look at that part first.
Yeah.
Don't look at the part of you that you're like, I fucking hate my entire body.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, you, I think you have to start small and not force the process. And I think we also have to recognize that, like, shadow work, quote unquote, is like, I think it's a natural process that happens anyways when we have the intention of reaching, like, psychological maturity.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you don't have to dedicate so much time each day to do shadow work. Like, just hold the intention of learning and growing and just building the capacity to own all that you are, and just trust that this process will happen naturally as long as you're open and like willing for it.
Yeah, witness yourself.
Yeah.
As like a human, the good, the bad, the ugly, the works, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, again, that's likely where it goes back. You put it really well, but like, that's likely where it goes back, why I hate that we label it, because you make a really good point that it's a natural process. If you are a person with growth mindset and you like to constantly get better and self-reflect, and you will naturally do this work. So the fact that we like label it as a project that has to be done when it's naturally something you're going to do makes me really resistant to it.
It makes it more daunting than it is.
Yeah. Cause to me, I'm like, I don't really have a process for it. It's just what I do. Like, I just naturally do it because I love growing and healing and becoming a fully evolved and aligned person and integrated and, like, feeling like my whole actual self who can show up authentically and be comfortable in my own skin. So the work's been natural. But if I were to, like, go back and be like, where did I do shadow work? I'm like, I don't really know.
Because it's just, like, feels like shadow work.
Yeah, like, it's, it just, it's just kind of the work, right? It's just the work you have to do to be the person that you really want to be. Who do you want to show up as? How do you show up as them? What do you have to do? And go from there.
What parts of you do you have to accept in order to be that person?
Yeah, how do you accept love? Like, and my thing is like, how do you accept love into your life if you don't love yourself? That being said, if you've never experienced love, you're likely going to learn in a relationship what love feels like before you can ever love yourself. That's why relationships are so healing, right? But like, at the same time too, you need to be able to look at those parts of you that's not willing to accept the love. Why? There's like, it's so much, right? But it's like you've said, it's a natural progression. You don't have to decide, sit down one day and decide, I'm going to do the shadow work.
I'm going to do the shadow work. Right? You've already been doing the shadow work. Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already done so much shadow work without even realizing it.
100% Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, I think that's why the label pisses me off. It's just, do you want to be a better person? Okay, you're doing the work. There it is.
As long as there's like this, like, this strive to be a more evolved human and like, to be more whole and in like, to accept your wholeness, like, that's, you're already 10 steps ahead of a lot of people who aren't willing to even look at themselves in the mirror, right? So it's like, give yourself more credit.
Absolutely. And if you want to call it the shadow work, go right ahead.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to call it anything, awesome. Find what works for you. But it's worth it. I'll say, like, picking those parts apart or like looking at all of those things, like, it's definitely the most rewarding part of the work when it's healed. It's not rewarding in the moment. Shitty in the moment, but like,
there's good payoff when you're dedicated to it.
100%
Yeah.
And like we said, like, that witnessing piece, if you're not able to witness yourself before going into the work, you will not be able to witness yourself when the work is paid off. You won't see it. You'll just keep searching for more shit wrong with you, which isn't the point. You're not that, like, none of us are broken. We're just a little fucked up.
So step one, Look in the mirror, witness yourself.
Yeah, do some mirror talk. I know it sounds stupid, but like...
It helps. I've done it. I don't do it often, but I've done it a few times when I was having like a really like rough time. And there's just so much healing when you just... Either you talk to yourself from the perspective of like your current self or like you reparent yourself. There's just like... I don't know. I did it one time and I felt like a physical shift and I just felt like... Oh, I felt so seen by myself because I was physically looking at myself. And I was like, there's some merit to this.
Like, watch yourself cry. Like, sit in the mirror and witness yourself cry. Because, like, it's so healing to just be like, I see you. I see your pain right now. Instead of being like, why am I crying? This is fucking stupid. But, like, which is what we do. We're like, why am I, like...
Wiping the tears away. Holding like, back the tears.
Go to the mirror and, like, witness yourself sob. It's it's heartbreaking, but it's very healing. But I think my number one tip would be like start with actually looking at yourself in the mirror. Give yourself a high five. Say you're proud of yourself.
I think my number one tip would just be try your best to understand where those parts of you come from and have a little bit of compassion for them. Maybe not love right away, but just compassion, appreciation for like the role they've played in your life. That's like a really good step to start on the way to the journey of loving yourself is appreciation.
Yes, because those parts of you exist for a reason. They protected something. They kept you safe in some capacity, right? Like they kept you safe. So the appreciation goes a long way to recognize that like it was actually a really brave part of you at the time, but now it's not serving you. So
cool. Do you have anything else to add? I think that's a great place
to end off. No, that's... Fuck shadow work. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, you guys.
We'll see you on the... We won't ever see you, but you'll hear us on the next episode.
See ya.